You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We've got Big Weej. That's Jake Volnick to you and me coming up in 1 hour's time. In case we missed it, coming up in just about 40 minutes' time. But we actually started talking about this in the pre-show. I was really surprised at the waffling of opinions, not just on the Guardians, but maybe where Terry Francona was in Cincinnati and where he was here in Cleveland and where the Gardos are without him, based off what happened then this weekend.
What do you think was waffling?
Okay, I just think I saw a lot of people saying, oh, Tito beat us, as if it was some sort of like indication that the Guardians couldn't beat Tito.
Oh, I'd say, well, Benson beat us.
He had like the special sauce of, or like, he had some sort of Jedi mind trick on the Guardians.
No,
like,
it was just
a bad weekend.
It was a bad weekend. It was a three-game set. It's not as if Tito himself did anything special or amazing. That's why, like, when you see all these managers that get fired, we saw it with the Pirates. We saw the Orioles just fired their manager over the weekend as well. It's like, it's not their fault. A lot of the times, it's not their fault.
Yeah, I mean, well, the difference is Brandon Hyde didn't have a playoff win in the last the two previous playoffs. Steven Vogt's already kind of proven he knows how to do the managing thing. Bum managers don't get to the ALCS.
Well, you won the, can we call it a Tito breakup? Because I know at the time it was phrased as him just retiring and stepping aside for health reasons,
yeah.
But
it was a breakup.
We know enough at this point. Can't we just call it a breakup?
I mean, did he need a year off to concentrate on health? Yes. Was that put into motion because of some frustration he had with the organization? Also, yes.
From that perspective, if we call it a breakup, then I feel like Guardians fans should feel like you won the breakup because Vogt has done everything that you could expect and then some. You were just in the ALCS last year.
I also think he landed with the Reds, and like, Ellie De La Cruz is a really exciting player. He hasn't fulfilled on the hype yet.
Not even close.
Like, he's very splashy as a player,
yeah.
and just is not a very consistent player. Look at that roster, like, there's not a lot of star potential there. Now, maybe Tito can get it out of somebody the way, you know, gradually over time. I think he created an environment where Hosey could grow into the player that Jose became year three, I think, in baseball.
And I do think small ball is actually something, it's something that Tito obviously always favored, but I think it's actually working into today's baseball climate. What I mean by that is not just the running the bases part of it, but in particular stolen bases, considering stolen bases are up as high as we've ever seen it right now, and they're having a success rate higher than we've ever seen it across baseball history. 78% of them are being swiped, and so like there are little things that are playing to Tito's advantage, but you just need enough talent, and right now the Reds don't have that.
Yeah, and I mean, they're kind of, what's wild about this is they're kind of at the tail end of like a rebuild talent-wise, meaning a lot of their guys have been up for several years now or have had, you know, 2 years of experience now, and just nobody's kind of come to the top. They've got some nice young players, so I don't want to try and like bag on them, but I think if Tito's real problem in Cleveland was not just his health, but he just was frustrated how they don't spend here, I think he's going to have a rude awakening in Cincinnati where they ebb and flow with that ownership group just as much as Cleveland does.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong there. But within the Guardians and this conversation, though, I don't know how you can look at this weekend and think, man, do I miss Tito so much?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I like there was the comment about Andrew Abbott, and he was like, well, I'll just be quite honest, the man's got a set on him. Like, there were some Tito-ism things that were fun, but at the same point, like, I do think, like...
It was nice watching him chew bubblegum again.
It was. Nobody chews bubblegum.
Not like him.
Like a man that is 62 and has played baseball in the big leagues.
That's years of experience.
But I think you're right. I think you're onto something, though. That I am supremely confident that Stephen Vogt is a good manager. I don't know if he's a great manager, but I at least know, like, this isn't a Bud Black situation. This isn't a Manny Acta situation, right? Where you waited a couple years and you're like, all right, are they going to win? They've got some talent. No, are they going
to
win?
That's why him doing it out of the gate and him being able to overachieve with a team that many people left for dead to begin with anyway. Like, he showed you a season that most managers, if they're there for a decade, don't get to show you.
And
he did that right out of the rip.
That's like, even when people kind of look down at this team, it's like, well, the rotation's not very good. I'm like, yeah, not yet. Well, the bullpen, is it a little overrated? Class A, is he in? Is he out? I don't know. Well, the lineup, it's not good enough. And I'm like, all right, let's see.
And yet they're still winning.
Like, there is, it's, to me, as long as you're continuing to win, and again, they did get swept this weekend. They've lost four straight games. But, like, the beauty about where baseball is, especially in the AL, like, the last 2 years have proven, last year proved, and then this year continues to prove, it's not AL Central or bust. Like, you can, like, the Guardians right now, I think, would be the second wild card team.
They would be a playoff team today.
You're still in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And even so, if you look around the rest of the playoffs, there might be like an 84 win playoff team this year.
And listen, I don't know what ends up happening with Kafis. Maybe he comes up here this year. Maybe it's in the next couple weeks. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know when DeLauder will get up here. I really don't know. I don't know when Bizana is going to get up here. But like, you can see where the reinforcements are, and you can see how this team, even if it's not for this season, next year and then beyond, they're going to hit so much better than what this team currently is.
And to what you were saying, I don't expect John Kensie to be here in a month if he continues hitting this way, let alone in 3 months.
No, he'll probably be the one that gets called down when Lane Thomas comes back up.
That makes sense. And then you have what I think is maybe the most exhilarating right field that you could possibly have, Lane Thomas and Will Brennan. I mean, just murderer's row there. But I still think that there's enough to do here. Like, even Rocchio got sent down, and he's raking since then. I think the offense is going to be fine to be just good enough. It comes down to, can the rotation find itself? And that's a big question right now. But I think the Guardians are in a really good spot. I feel less certain that Tito is in a, you're going to rattle something off here over the next couple years in Cincinnati. It doesn't mean he can't do it. I just mean I feel better about the Guardian State because they're so young.
Yeah.
And because those reinforcements are coming versus like the guys today that are playing for Cincinnati, those are the guys that have to play better in the next couple of years for Tito to get where they think he's going to take him.
I just don't know how much Tito can do there. And it's not like I'm going to try to defend Tito because you guys know me. That's not what I'm going to try to do. It's just the talent. It's just not there in Cincinnati. That's kind of what made this weekend so, I think, awful for people. Is you're staring at the next few series is going to be the Twins and the Tigers. But Twins just were on a 13-game winning streak until Sunday, and that got snapped. So they won 13 out of 14, and the Tigers just refused to lose baseball games.
What's funny about it to me is if you were, instead of losing four straight, if you had won four straight, everyone would have been like, bring on the Twinkies, we want this. Because you lost for everyone's acting like this is the end of the season. It's like, no, this is another good opportunity. Like, we're still the first 80 games in. We haven't hit the 80 game mark. And once you get about 80 games in, all right, maybe this guy isn't here. Maybe this is what you need. Maybe you go try and find this, whether it's a big trade, a little trade, something in between. Or maybe there's a young guy at AAA. Like,
yeah, I mean, there are some things they got to try to do if they're going to show us that they're going to at least try to get an offense that's better than what it has been.
No, definitely. But I think my point is there's just so much time. And I know I'm not trying to be the guy that says don't analyze where they are. But if you're winning, even if you have obvious flaws, as long as you continue to win and you're 4 to 5 games above 500, you are in the catbird seat, even if you're not in the top of the division.
Right, and then try to get humming when you actually do get the postseason underway and everything is going. I'm not going to sit here and act like this is a perfect baseball team. It's not.
But am I the only person that thinks they were in a little bit of a no-win situation with the Tito thing? If you put boots to asses this weekend and you took two or three, you swept Tito.
You were expected to against the Reds, yeah.
But because they lost to, again, Cincinnati is probably a middle-of-the-road talent team. Those teams can still, this isn't the Rockies. This isn't right. The White Sox. This is a team that can beat you if you don't have a good weekend.
So obviously I watched every game, and I can't tell you how little I thought about Tito being in the other dugout.
I feel like I got a lot more of the other way.
See, they kept showing them. I think you're right, and I'm trying to figure out why I felt one way and a lot of people felt a different way. But they kept showing them, and I got it, and I understood all that. It just, in my opinion, maybe it's because we just replaced him with Vogt, and I feel so good about Vogt that it just didn't do anything for me.
216-474-0092. There are ways to prove things, and there are ways not to. We'll get to that. But who is winning the divorce, Tito or the Cleveland Guardians? And boots on the ground in the weekend's biggest story, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fan. He's making the news rounds and gave me maybe the silliest reason to not build a Brook Park Dome.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Tweeting out a picture of the Guardians flyover from the blimp, very cool photo op, right? And said, not sure, given the flight paths, if the second can happen. Meaning that with the Browns Brook Park Dome, because it's right next to the airport, maybe that means we don't get the blimp.
We're going to have to give up the blimp.
Yeah. You get two. Guys, you can choose one of two. State-of-the-art stadium, year-round use, Taylor Swift concerts potentially.
We do love the Goodyear blimp, though.
Haslamville or blimp.
I actually like the idea that he's going so far with this. Even he knows it's ridiculous, but he's just going to try to do everything and anything he possibly can.
I think he swayed one person. One person's like, well, bleep this. I need the blimp.
I think he knows it doesn't, but I think he's going to try to do like a collection of things, and then it just in his mind just adds up to a bunch.
What are the other ones?
I have no idea.
Because I got to figure out what the death by 1,000 paper cuts is going to be.
I think that's his plan, though. I think like one by one. Did you see his tweet the other day? He was like, I just talked to a bunch of kids at a local whatever it was. And he's like, and they all agree the Browns should stay downtown. And it's like, what are you doing?
So were they being held hostage? The only way they could get gone?
It's like, one, we don't even know that you actually are polling kids out there. But number two, why are you polling kids on this issue? And then three, why do you think that's a good, like, hey, let's bring that to the table?
Was he driving around an ice cream truck and be like, if you want a fudgy wudgy, you got to answer correctly on whether or not you want the Browns to play downtown or not?
Part of me thinks his tweets now are just to agitate Daryl.
Which I don't hate.
Like, he's just doing this.
Agitated Daryl is very funny.
Just to get under Daryl's skin, because Daryl quote tweets everything he says and is so mad.
I just feel like on the same day that you're like, hey, the Haslams have misled people about this, they're bullying citizens, on the day you do that, shouldn't that be your message instead of what about the blimp?
I think it's a perfect decoy.
It's such a better argument of you're misrepresenting the facts, you're cooking the books in your favor, and you're bullying local people instead of the blimp.
You see, but that first part runs dry, right? Like, that's like, hey, listen, you're a wind-up doll now. We've heard your speech. We know what you have. At least he's bringing blimps to the equation.
I also love the idea. Chris knows.
Ronay not running out of the hits.
Chris does, and that dog won't hunt.
No,
it won't.
It's like the time I got on Draymond Green like a year ago for entering the podcast space and then giving the same take for 30 days straight. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, you got to develop new content. At least Chris is developing new content.
Okay, but just... we're all aware that there is such thing as air traffic control and that they can coordinate and the blimp people can be like, hey, we'd like to fly over at this time. All right. We'll make sure the skies are clear.
No, I don't think that works with
that's
the airport.
That's not how it works.
No, not with the airport. No. No.
It turns out that one. We can't communicate.
In this instance, I think Chris might be right. I think that would be an impossible situation to actually have a Goodyear blimp go over and stop all airplanes coming in and out of Hopkins.
Stop it, but create a window where you can fly by.
No chance. Do you know how many airplanes come in and out of Hopkins to have them pause for a Goodyear blimp?
How many?
A lot.
That's not pause. You just have a moment where...
A moment?
They fly things in and out. What's the difference between flying a blimp over there? I didn't realize I was dealing with Johnny Air Traffic Control over here.
I think I might go Chris Renane all over here. That's an impossible endeavor.
216-474-0092. If you work in air traffic control, I want your bona fides. We're going to need your, but I want to know if it's possible to schedule a time where a blimp can fly within airspace so we can still get the blimp out there.
I don't think it exists, man. Think about all the...
In the world of technology, what are you talking about?
What world of technology? You're in airspace.
Air traffic controller.
Yeah, an air traffic controller isn't going to...
I just said a job title. There's radars. There's phones we can communicate. There's so many ways we could just have a conversation about, is this plausible?
I think Daryl mentioned it in one of his tweets that SoFi is right next to LAX, and they still have over...
Yeah, but SoFi's never had a blimp go over it.
SoFi
might be near LAX.
How do you know that they've never had a blimp go over it?
What they did with SoFi was they built it so far below the ground so that they could have it be as close to the airport as it is. I believe it's still within like 4 or 5 miles, but I... All right, you have witness of them I don't see it.
I just think you think they've never had the blimp fly over SoFi? Just a wild take.
That's not a wild take. Why would a blimp go to? There's 4 blimps in operation. There's 3 in the United States. You think one went all the way to California to fly over SoFi?
They have them go over every big sporting event.
SoFi is it's a dome in California. Why would they go over SoFi?
They're a glass dome.
It's translucent. Yes, it is.
You just wanted to say translucent. Now you're just trying to be a D.
Well, I might be trying to be a D, but it wasn't because of translucent.
You're
the one saying they could shut down the entire in and out of Hopkins for a Goodyear blimp.
I didn't even say 20 minutes. You're just making things up now. See, I push you back, and all of a sudden you're Johnny Fast with the facts over there.
What should I try to be in this conversation?
I don't. Maybe say what I actually said.
What'd you say?
I said that maybe they could have a conversation with air traffic control and create a window where you could fly over without being a threat to incoming or outgoing flights.
And all I said is that seems like a wild ask. And also one that would not be granted. Because there's so many planes that go in and out of Hopkins on any daily basis. You're having Southwest, Delta, all the flights just not exist for how long?
What about
the other
carriers? What about like Spirit?
All of them. How much money is at stake there? But also the idea...
Is Continental still one? Because we should talk about them too.
No. But, you know, the fact that you're going to walk away from this segment thinking you're right on this is going to blow my mind.
Likewise, good partner.
I don't
Mac,
know what to tell you.
The crack research team of Mac Robinson
is doing no research right now.
No, he did, and I think he gave up. Can you just Google, has a blimp ever flown over SoFi? Can we just start to tear apart the argument?
But SoFi isn't right next door to the airport that they have in Los Angeles. It's like 4 miles away, 5 miles away.
That's right next door in the parlance of airplanes.
No, because they're not asking them to completely stop.
Hopkins
and the new Cleveland Brown Stadium are literally within yards of each other, hundreds of yards of each other.
Why have we not had an air traffic controller? 216-474.
Do we not have any in our audience? It's a very stressful job. I could understand if they're listening to, like, you know, Primus or something.
Anya. All right, so we'll see on that. Even so, I'm still willing to forego the blimp treatment, as it were. Now, another big storyline from this weekend was the fight between, the scuffle between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese was going to get a clear shot at the basket. Caitlin saw that. It was a common foul that was upgraded to a flagrant. I didn't really see a flagrant foul. I understand why officials did it. I didn't really see a flagrant foul. I thought she was trying to stop somebody from getting an easy bucket, which is like a basketball play that we all have. Fair?
Fair.
Unfair. Okay. It has turned into absolute hell with media people attacking media people and just a lot of really dumb opinions. But we actually had boots on the ground on this one. Our senior WNBA correspondent, Mac Robinson, was in the stands for this one. Set the scene for us there, Mac.
Yeah, so even before the game even started, you know, the energy was, you know, massive for the.
Would you say palpable?
Yes, absolutely. Because the way the stadium is, especially in the upper deck area, it's more angled closer so that you can. It feels more intimate with the actual arena. So in the introductions of the game, the second loudest cheer, obviously, you know, Caitlin Clark getting her cheers before the game, second loudest was the boos for Angel Reese. As she was announced in the starting lineup. And again, crowd going insane for that. But then, again, as you know, set up the foul that Caitlin Clark, again, just trying to stop Angel Reese from going up for the layup. Angel Reese obviously having a disagreement there. But once that started, once that kind of erupted at that point, all of a sudden the fans lost it. Mm-hmm. And everybody was booing loudly. The free throws that she had following for the flagrant that was assessed to Caitlin Clark, the boos were deafening in that arena. At that point.
So I don't know where to go with that. That was really comprehensive. That was this is why we sent him to Indy.
I did hear a lot of the fans were making some gestures towards Angel Reese, and so it has me a little alarmed that you were part of the audience.
Yeah.
Did you hear any of those?
Where were you on January 6th?
No, I was in the upper deck area. I didn't hear any of that, but I heard a lot of people saying that it was a common foul. And a lot of Fever fans that were upset at it being upgraded to a flagrant.
Well, I will say.
It did take them a while to actually show the replay of the foul on the Jumbotron for that reason.
It would be pretty surprising, by the way. It'd be pretty surprising if Fever fan were like, she should have been thrown out, them being Caitlin Clark. It's so funny. I already took a shot at what... The conversations that have happened because of the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese over the weekend, because they went to a lot of unnecessary points where they just didn't need to go, and people getting personal with each other. And the reality is, it was wild that anyone villainized Angel Reese for that play specifically and her reaction to it, when in reality, they might just already think Angel is a villain from her previous comments and the way... she was laughing at her teammate who had Kennedy Carter, who's no longer in the WNBA because she's a very dirty player, and that's a well-known thing. What's wild to me is that nobody's just sitting around and being like, man, this is a great thing for the WNBA. It really is. Like, the second I saw the video on Twitter, I immediately tuned into the game. This what's missing in other professional sports right now. Baseball players are buddy-buddy. NBA players, buddy-buddy. NFL players... And we get an Insta pick a week of guys Insta pick. We get an Instagram post a week of guys hanging out in Cabo on vacation. Like, there's really not a lot of.
They seem like they genuinely hate each other.
And like, it's unfortunate because there are layers to Angel versus Caitlin that go beyond and are really a commentary on America at large. But in terms of just the pure beef of Caitlyn doesn't like Angel and Angel doesn't like Caitlyn, this absolutely has a chance to be huge for the league.
So my only hang up on this is the idea that Angel Reese isn't a good enough basketball player at this point for them to continue this on.
Like, oh, I don't hate that.
I mean, it's just she's a great rebounder, and that's really about it. Like, I think the problem
is that
she took
a three the other day. I saw her take a three.
So Caitlin's held up her end of the bargain in this. Angel Reese hasn't. Like, Angel Reese has got to find a way to be much better than she currently is if we're going to keep this thing going.
So, all right, I do think Paige Bueckers versus Caitlin Clark, in terms of best on best, is the kind of rivalry that we could have that I think, because people keep comparing it to Magic versus Bird, which is what you're driving at. This would be like Draymond versus kicking dudes in the privates. Like, this is, I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way. Angel's a really good WNBA player. The fact she's starting in, what, a 14-team league proves to you how damn good she is. But her and Caitlin aren't in the same, and the only reason that they are in the same plane of existence is Angel has made a lot of basketball plays, quote unquote, and had things to say about Caitlin.
Yeah.
That's really where that's come from.
All right, can we get to Jim? I'm dying to find out now.
All right, we got Jim in Akron.
My curiosity
here. He says he's a retired air traffic controller, and then Anthony adds the word man there. Thank you, Anthony. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Real quick, JP, sorry you're wrong. Vic, you got it right. Takes a lot of prior coordination, and they're going to be on the flight plan. Everything could work. It will be able to work. Not a problem.
Do they do this often?
No, I mean, but there's a lot of cities that they will fly over for big events, like you said, and they're close to airports, and they do get to the main place where they got to go.
So it's no problem that it's within like hundreds of yards and that's it?
Right, and they'll fly over, they'll do their thing, clear out, and it's all about prior coordination, and it's usually at certain times of the day, there's not as much traffic, and things could happen.
All right, Jim.
Jim, thank you very much. Enjoy retirement, our friend.
Thank you, Jim. I guess I'm wrong.
The phones have been quite kind to your boy, Nick Wilson.
I'm very surprised by this.
I mean, between this and Primus, I
looked up and I saw SoFi had some, so that had me a little worried.
You shook.
But it wasn't really the main point of anything. I'm shocked. Because there's so much that goes into a whole flight itinerary for a day to have that all stopped for a Goodyear blimp. Wild to me. But I was wrong.
Proud of you.
I was wrong.
It's a big moment. 216.
I'm going to say it seven more times. I was wrong. Nick nailed it. Nick, fantastic job.
I think there's about five.
Does it hurt
more
that you were just very, very right about this? And I was.
Yeah.
Really, I did not see a world where that. I was going to spend hours on Google later, so this saved me a lot of time,
just
Jim.
Just send list after list or post after post about what an idiot I am, and now you can't do that?
I don't even know where I would send those posts. I missed your anniversary. I would never do such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's the day of your anniversary.
On my hollowed anniversary.
It's a holy day in the Wilson household. I would never disrupt that.
216-474-0092. And dogs can look up for what it's worth. That's another one we got to get into. I'm just curious, is the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese thing, do you think that dislike, that heat, is that helping you to pay more attention to the WNBA? Because it absolutely has instant tune in when I know they're in a scuffle and it's actually happened in a game. In case you missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.